T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What are we going to talk about today?
I have an idea.
Hey, what channel is the Women's World Cup on? What time is the game? I wasn't listening to your update.
Thank you. It's at 3 p.m.
Were you? Were you listening to his update?
Oh, hell no. Can't be embarrassed by that.
I was speaking metaphorically to the listener. No, 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock.
What channel? Can I watch it on in here?
No idea.
All right. Can you find out before 3?
We'll see.
I wanted to
put some money on. Aren't they great?
Well, I looked at the line for USA women's team. -5.5 goals.
Come on.
So, yes, they're very good. But would you give – in whatever soccer – any World Cup match – and I know some matches will end 12, you know, 1. But I don't – how can I give up 5.5 goals?
3 minutes into the show, I have to go to Solana on this one.
Solana?
At 5 goals? Is that that's ridiculous, right?
Yeah. I mean, they might well do it because
I think they probably will.
But betting that is probably not a wise bet.
Okay. Yeah, it's -5.5. So to win the bet, you have to have them win by 6 goals.
Oh, no. We're rolling on the NBA Finals. The hell with the soccer.
Yeah, we won last night.
Yes.
We won. So here's what happened last night if you're following our gambling exploits. And today is going to be a loaded potato. We got your KD coverage and your NBA Finals coverage. Can you have my headphones just a touch louder? I toured the new building today, new studios. We're going to be able to control all this stuff. I don't have to ask Solana to do it. You know, it's like all the stuff. In fact, most of the stuff Solana does, we're going to be able to do right from our console there.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I need to go to class then.
It's, you know who you are, Solana? You're the guy working behind the register at McDonald's, and they keep installing kiosks. And you're kind of looking at the first kiosk, and then they put in the 15th kiosk. You're like, huh. And what exactly?
I need to get back on these fries with this register.
Now, I'll tell you more about the new studios today. Cornbread Maxwell is going to join us. Legendary NBA All-Star, I was going to say Finals MVP, though. Yep. He was a one-year Finals MVP.
And part of a dynasty. I got to ask
him
about that.
And John Crotty is going to join us. We'll talk some basketball with him. Ira Winderman going to join us for a brief KD conversation as well. And with Cornbread, obviously, we'll do the blacklist, which is something we enjoy doing.
I found the entire blacklist this morning.
Oh, really?
From we've been, what's it? It was in years we've been doing that with Cornbread. I found the entire blacklist right here.
Well, we're going to, we asked Cornbread Maxwell. He's kind of the arbiter of everything black and white. In fact, last week we had a conversation because I went to see Hootie and the Blowfish. And last week on the show, Crowder said that the black contingent has traded Darius Rucker.
Yeah.
And who did we get? We got we got Darius Rucker. You got Eminem.
Yes.
And then a player to be named later who turned out to be Iggy Azalea, who then you have now tried to trade off to Hispanic people.
They can have her.
And Solana has said no.
Está bien.
We're trying to get something for Bad Bunny, though. We're looking. I'm still trying to work a deal for Bad Bunny before the deadline. So we can ask Cornbread.
Bad Bunny.
we can ask Cornbread in like 10 or 15 minutes. So anyway, if you're following our gambling exploits, we didn't know. We kind of talked it through in the last segment or two of yesterday's show, and we didn't have a strong feel either way. But when we left here at 6 o'clock last night, KD was playing. We knew that. And the line was Raptors -1.5. When I got home and we started looking to maybe bet the game, it was like 7:30 or so. The line had flipped totally. It was Golden State -1, which means the action was so heavy, which meant a lot of gamblers thought Kevin Durant would make the difference, which, by the way, he did at the beginning. You saw
11 points.
I mean, he
went crazy.
Didn't look like he had missed a beat, right? Nope. I mean, he was out there. And so we weren't going to bet it. We decided not to bet it. And then 2 minutes before tip-off, it became pick'em. And so we decided I'll lay half a unit on Golden State at pick'em. And thankfully, we waited, because if we had bet it when it was minus one, it's a push.
Yeah.
But we ended up winning our bet. So we're on a nice little win streak here. I don't want to jinx us, but...
we got to make it back, baby.
We're on a nice little...
So is that nine for 10?
It's like 9 of 10, yeah.
Yeah.
It's 8 of 9 or 9 of 10. Like, we're on a nice little streak.
We had to swing. We were doing
we did.
Bad.
We needed a swing back, and we got it.
Yes.
We got it. So we're having fun. That game last night, there was so much that's been talked about ad nauseum since it happened, from the moment Kevin Durant went down. And I'm guessing as an athlete, you knew, because it was a non-contact injury.
The way he just let the ball go. Did you see his mind left basketball?
Yeah, it was like, here, steal the ball. Because he knew that he was going to miss next season. He knew he was going to miss next season.
And these two foul shots they're about to get on the other side has nothing to do with my damn Achilles popping. And did you see the video of the little...
Where you see the calf muscle...
Vibrate.
Yeah, which I was then reading something where that's obviously attached to the Achilles. And if the calf muscle snaps quickly like that, that could pull the Achilles. And
That turned my stomach.
Normally, by the way, we would have Dr. Chuck on today to talk about it, but he's in Italy. So he's out of pocket.
Sending pictures of big ass steaks.
I don't even know what time
Chuck is
weird.
Over there.
Yeah.
isn't the Achilles a really painful injury though? Because he didn't look like he was in pain.
I thought the Achilles, when you snap an Achilles, now is that official that it's a torn Achilles?
He's having an MRI today. There's still no official word yet.
I'll tell you, once Brian Windhorst and Ramona Shelbourne come out and say probably Achilles, I'm riding with Achilles.
Does it have to be torn, though?
All the way popped? No. It ended my father's career. Torn Achilles
ended
my dad's career.
You had told us that story before.
Yeah.
So and then you say, so what happens?
His totally popped, and he's old as hell, so I didn't see it, but he said his calf rolled up in behind his knee, where the Achilles was gone, and there's nothing else holding his calf to his heel.
Ugh.
So it was a big knot behind his knee, and they had to pull it back down.
Almost like when a blind goes zoom.
Yeah. And then you got to pull them back down. But then now that your Achilles and the blinds is your calf muscle. So it's one of the hardest injuries to come back from in all of sports.
Let's see. Yeah. Ramona Shelbourne says the Warriors believe Kevin Durant's MRI on Tuesday will confirm a torn right Achilles tendon.
Ugh. And he got them little hot dog calves too. It's going to get tough for him. Somebody's to blame. Somebody told that man, you can go back and play basketball, and he went back and played basketball, and the injury got worse.
Here's the only thing that I say about that, and obviously he was cleared. He couldn't play if he wasn't cleared. But part of it, and you can speak to this being a former athlete, like Kevin Durant and his opinion on what he wants to do has unbelievable weight, because that guy is not going to get pressured. First of all, think about it in local terms. Ryan Tannehill did not want to have surgery. This is only Ryan Tannehill we're talking about. That's not Dan Marino. That's not Joe Montana.
Definitely not the damn KD.
Right. He's not on the level of Kevin Durant. But Ryan Tannehill had enough cachet being the starting quarterback to say, I know maybe you're recommending surgery. I'm not going to have surgery. And we know that it ended up costing him whatever. Kevin Durant is LeBron. LeBron is not going to rush back. LeBron is not going to be forced to come back. I believe the same is true for Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, James Harden, Kevin Durant, of course.
Yeah.
So I'm a little, you know, skeptical that so many people are jumping on medical staff saying they're to blame, that Golden State Warriors management forced him to play. I just don't think he's at that level. I think he is so far superior to the way you think an athlete might be treated nowadays that I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe they're going off what he says, which they obviously have to. How do you feel? Do you think you could play medically? Yes. Now, was he 100%? I don't know. Obviously not. But yeah. I just I have a tough time getting to the place that a lot of people have gotten to, which is he got done wrong. I'm not certain I'm there on that one.
And Charles Barkley, he made a hell of a point. He doesn't make a lot of them. He made a hell of a point this morning on Get Up. He was on one of those. So Get Up, a first take. And he was saying, they asked him, he was like, it was a mistake. And they said, how can you say that? Because he tore his Achilles. Like, there's facts to say he was not ready to play basketball.
Right. Yeah, no, it's pretty easy.
So, but to your point now, I'm saying if KD, if they said, hey, you have a chance of injuring this to a higher degree, and KD said, I feel good, I'm a ride, that's on KD. And that's his fault. If the medical staff didn't tell him that, it's the medical staff's fault. But for, and Charles, I'm stealing this from Charles, for him to go back and play one quarter and then injure himself for the next 14 months.
He was not ready.
He was not ready. Whose decision was it for him to
because
go back on that court?
I even think back to Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose, they were telling him to play, the Bulls, right?
Yep.
Weren't the Bulls telling Derrick Rose, you're medically cleared to play? And Derrick Rose, who was not KD, an MVP at that point, but not KD, was saying, nope, not ready.
I know my body.
I'm not ready. And they didn't force him to play. So
he got criticized.
Criticized worldwide. Like crazy. And just like, I mean, Kevin Durant was in a no-win situation last night, because if Golden State loses and he didn't suit up and he didn't play, people would question all the time. He was looking to the future. He could have played. He could have gritted it out. He didn't do so. Now, obviously, he's going to be a season lost. Now, no money's going to be lost because he could opt in to Golden State. He's got an opt-in for $31.5 million.
Woo.
He could opt in. If he doesn't, would you not sign him?
Nope.
You would not.
No, I'm saying, what you said, would I not sign him?
Yeah.
Oh, like the Knicks, the Celtics, whoever.
Anyone.
Take a year off, we'll give you $30 million.
But not, right, no.
And we're ready for 2020
season. If Kevin Durant was free to sign a contract anywhere today, a Supermax contract, whatever it was, NBA Max, if you were the Miami Heat, would you say, we're not certain right now?
I pulled the trigger.
Yeah,
he's too great.
Yeah, so I don't think he ends up losing any money. So I actually take money out of the equation. Now he wants to play. I get that. But I do have this weird thing where, like, man, if you say you like Derrick Rose didn't want to play, he didn't play. Period. Became a story, but he did not play. So I have a tough time believing that he got pressured into playing.
Rachel Nichols said yesterday after the game, though, that doctors told him his injury couldn't get worse. And don't forget, the medical staff cleared him, whether he was influencing them or not, by saying, yeah, I'm good. They still cleared him medically. And doctors for the Warriors, don't they have an incentive to clear him? When back's against the wall, they have the incentive to say, we need this guy out there. Let's kind of get things going here. We'll clear him, even though maybe he probably shouldn't have been cleared.
And if he shouldn't have played, it's like Chris Bosh. He shouldn't play. Chris Bosh was fighting for 2 years to go play basketball, and the doctor said, there is not an NBA team that's going to clear you to play on their court.
Right.
And KD, if they would have told him, hey, you can play. I know you're excited. It's the finals, and you can be the savior, the hero.
But you're not cleared.
Two-time MVP, all the stuff they're talking about. You can tear your Achilles and lose a year of basketball. Would KD go about it the same way? Would he make that same decision?
Right. I mean, I
that's the question.
I don't know, and there's so many tentacles to this story. All I know is that when he went down yesterday, I felt sick to my stomach. Partly because we had Golden State pick him. Partly though, now it was terrible. I mean, it was terrible because you knew the whole context of the story. It wasn't just like watching anybody go down with an injury. There was this context behind it, and he looked so good.
Looked stupid.
He looked stupid good. and you saw, like you said, he stopped playing. It wasn't even like he was stretching. Remember, the Klay Thompson came down funny or whatever and tweaked his hammy. Like, he quit playing because he knew it was over.
Yes.
It was just a crazy moment.
Guys break their wrist, or guys are doing this thing, and they continue to play. They'll break the hand. Jalen Rose told a story this morning, and he broke his hand during the game, and he was like, I can go. He continued to play. That hand didn't make him do what KD did. Watch, as soon as he stepped, he just threw the ball in the middle of the court and fell on the ground.
Yep.
Basketball, he was not in an arena. He was not in the finals.
Didn't look to see if the ball got stolen. Didn't look to see if anybody fouled someone from Toronto on the way down. Like, it was, yeah.
And didn't watch what happened at the other side of the court. Yep. He was looking to the sideline. Yep. Come get me. Something's wrong. That's when I got. That's you know what? I don't say I got scared, but that's when I knew it was something really wrong.
It was done.
It wasn't a cramp.
Yeah.
It was something bad.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we got a ton of stuff to get to. This is going to be a loaded potato of a program. Cornbread Maxwell, legendary NBA star. He's a broadcaster now for the Boston Celtics and a friend of the program. He's going to join us next. Radio.com. I like this. I didn't, I never heard this song, but it samples Fleetwood Mac. It was perfect. You got a very famous white group, Fleetwood Mac, and you've got black artists, and it's the whole tenor of the segment that we do with Cornbread.
Glad we're on the same page, Hawk.
A little bit of everything.
That was a dumb mistake.
That was a dumb mistake, but it works. Cornbread Maxwell, legendary NBA star, is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. He's a Boston Celtics broadcaster. Gives me an opportunity just to mention the Stanley Cup Finals. Is that tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Stanley Cup Finals. The Boston Bruins, I'm imagining everyone in Boston is rooting for them, and the St. Louis Blues. You can hear that right here on this very radio station. Pregame will start at 7:45 tomorrow. The broadcast is sponsored by Gunther Kia. You got to get to Gunther Kia for the summer sticker sales event. It's happening now through July 1st, so you can get some hockey. Final one of the season tomorrow night right here, AM 560, 96.5 FM HD2. Cornbread Maxwell is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, Celtics broadcaster, NBA legend, a finals MVP himself, and a friend of the program. What is up, Bread?
Oh, I am doing fine, gentlemen. It is a great day. They wanted me to tell you that 35 years ago, the Boston Celtics played a seventh game in Boston, and that happened as the last time they had a seventh game being played in Boston in sports. So yours truly had 24-8-8 and controlled that basketball game against the dreaded, stinking Los Angeles Lakers.
Woo! 24-8-8 in a game seven.
Show out!
Man, that'll get you something. That gets you legendary status in Boston, doesn't it?
That'll get your jersey retired in this building. Okay, that's what happened.
Which is not a bad accolade to have there. Is that whole city? Is it Bruins crazy? Are you rooting for the Bruins?
You know, when I don't get paid like most black people, I'm not concerned.
My man. So he became the flagship of the Panthers.
There you go.
I love the Panthers now, but the flagship.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is excellent.
That can go on the blacklist, okay?
Yeah, we're getting to it. We're getting to it. Hold tight, Cornbread. We got to talk about last night for a little bit. So what's your take? People are blaming the medical staff. I feel like a guy like Kevin Durant, a guy in that echelon, kind of controls his own destiny, like calls his own shots. But I guess if you get cleared, then maybe you have a false sense of belief that your body is okay. I don't know. What's your take on what happened last night?
All he wanted to do is come back and help his teammates. I don't think that you can read too much more than that. If, you know, every hindsight is always 20/20. Everybody, you know, could look back and, oh, he shouldn't have played. He shouldn't have played. Well, you know, he wanted to play. And there was a possibility for him to play. I'm sure that the medical people went over it with him. And other than that, that's all you can get. That's all you can say. And you don't worry about the rest of it. So all those naysayers who want to start blaming Kevin or blaming the Warriors, you know, his career isn't over. I think that, you know, hopefully – it was only, you know, maybe a tear or a strain of the calf, and he'll be back better than ever.
Well, Brad, isn't it on the staff to tell him? Because that's what I had. I had dozens of knee surgeries, bro. That was my thing. My knees kept messing up on me. And when I was coming back, I would always tell him.
This dude just gave us his stats, 24-8-8 in a game seven. Your stats were dozens of knee surgeries.
That's why my jersey is hanging nowhere.
His jersey is hanging at the Medical Institute on Bird Road and US1.
My jersey's at Hooters. That's where I spent most of my time. But, Brett, like, I would ask him going in, I was like, can I, if I go back with this injury, can I injure anything else? Is this, you know, related to something? And I think that's what, and Charles Barkley talked about it this morning, the reason that KD should not have been playing is because the outcome was him potentially tearing his Achilles.
Well, you know, I don't think that you go that far. And the reason I say that, because who says when you're going to tear your Achilles and how? How many times have I talked to people who have said, oh, I was just out there with my boys and nothing was wrong with me and I tore my Achilles? That's going to happen on God's time. And, you know, those things happen. It's just it was unfortunate. Hopefully it isn't the Achilles. You know, I've heard them talk, you know, go back and forth. But I think that he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
You're not crying a river of tears for Kevin Durant a lot. I mean, it was hard to watch last night because you saw how pained he was, not physical pain, but the mental anguish of knowing that, you know, not only was his NBA Finals series over after a quarter, but probably next season. If it is, you know, the Achilles, like it was just difficult to see someone in that situation, no?
Yeah, it's always hard to see any great athlete. You know, in that kind of situation where, you know, he wants to play and there's an injury. But those things happen. I mean, if you've been around sports long enough, you've been with teammates who have come on the floor, who've had injuries and had great games. You know, let's talk about Willis Reed many years ago, 1973, came on for 2 minutes, spurred the Knicks towards the victory against the L.A. Lakers. In the Madison Square Garden, last time I think maybe the Knicks won. those are times when athletes just decide, hey, I'm going to get out there and play. I'm a play under pain. I'm a play under the duress. And you know, and you don't worry about it. You just got to play the game you love. You hope that everything is okay. But in that term, you know, bad things did happen.
Cornbread Maxwell is with us. One of the things that's interesting, because Crowder has this same kind of attitude a lot where, you know, fans like me that just watch the game, it's, oh my goodness, and I feel so terrible. And Crowder, you know, he's always got this disconnect to that. He's like, hey, man, I've played the game. I've seen the best go down. I've seen guys who were just on the edge go down, and that's part of it. We all know it when we sign up to play, 100%, and you know it's going to happen.
100% injury rate in professional sports. Everybody that plays is going to get hurt.
Absolutely, and I don't think that. And the timing on this just happened to be worse. The fact that he had already injured, they were trying to, you know, get him back. I think that anytime you're an athlete, that is what you sign up for, the fact that you're going to get hurt. Very seldom you're going to see a guy who is not – well, never are you going to see a guy go through his career, especially a good player, and not have some form of injury. You know, my belief, though, is this. You know, and I've heard different athletes go different ways, and I heard a guy talk about it one time before, and what he told me, he said – I want to come back and I want to be 100%, because the fans, that's all they expect. All they expect you to be is 100% when you come back. Say if you're 80% and you're not there, some people are going to complain. So that's why some guys sit out. But myself, I just believe if you can get out and play, you just got to play.
And with KD now, he has a player option for $31 million, Cornbread, but – with him going into free agency, there were connections to the Knicks. You know, the Celtics, they have some pieces. They're going to add a piece this year. Do you think any team pulls back from KD with this injury?
I think we have to see what it is. You know, have they definitively said it is the Achilles?
No.
No, right. And until you know what that injury is, I don't think that anybody's going to say anything. You know, I think that most teams right now, the other 30 teams or whatever it is, would line up with the opportunity of getting Kevin Durant. He is still probably right now the best scorer in the NBA, especially you think about size and all that stuff that he brings to the table. He is a nightmare for anybody to guard, because essentially he's a guy who is 7 feet tall, who plays like who has the speed and the coordination of a guy who's about 6'4". He can get by anybody or shoot over anybody.
And if he does, let's say, you know, and it's all hypothetical, let's say they come out and say his Achilles is torn, he's going to miss a month. He's going to miss all the next season. Would you want the Celtics to go get him, knowing they got to give him $200-plus million, probably close to $300, and he's going to miss next year?
Now you're talking about a black man spending his money. Then that's when you say, well, can I get part of it back? I'm not sure.
Can you put him on layaway?
If it was my money and I had an opportunity to go out and get Kevin Durant, and I knew eventually he was going to be well, then I would take that chance. You know, all these teams right there who don't have that superstar in their lineup, yes, they would take that chance. Because Alec Killing is not going to end the fact of his career. And he will get better. You know, he will be better. He's still a young basketball player in the prime of his career. So I would definitely say I would sign.
Cornbread Maxwell is with us, a Celtics broadcaster. Now, are you guys pretty convinced that you're going to lose Kyrie?
You know, I don't know right now if it's going to happen or not. I think that a lot of people in the city have a lot of angst about Kyrie. I think that what you do is you just he has to make that decision on what he wants to do. As so far as the Celtics are concerned, I think the Celtics have to do one thing in particular. That's not let Kyrie walk for free. It has to be one hand wash the other. If Kyrie wants to leave, Celtics can pay him more money than anybody else, and you do a sign and trade. Let's just say, hypothetically, that it is somebody like Brooklyn. If he is determined he wants to go to Brooklyn, you give him his money. You say, Brooklyn, we'll trade him to you. And you give us D'Angelo Russell, because you don't think D'Angelo Russell and Kyrie Irving can't play together, because those are two ball-dominant guards. So if I'm the Celtics, I want something in return if Kyrie decides to leave. Myself, I don't make that move. Kyrie's with a great team, great organization, people who love him around here. So I don't make that move, but Kyrie's he's a little special, as we like to say in the hood.
Hold on, Cornbread, I'm going to put you on hold here. See if we can straighten out his phone line, because it got like echoey there at the end. Just see if you can straighten that out. Solana, you have your blacklist ready?
I do.
Because it seems like he's in the mood.
That's my man. He knows, baby. He loves coming on.
From the get-go.
I have a couple other ones. From the blacklist earlier. We've been doing it for years.
Right.
Swerve.
Well, hold on. He's there?
He's
okay.
There? Okay.
Does his phone line sound good? Your phone line was crapping out there at the end.
Okay. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, it's a little dicey.
Okay.
Did you move? Where'd you go? What happened? The interview started great.
No, I'm actually sitting right here in the bed. I didn't move.
All right.
I got to ask, before we get to the blacklist, I got to ask Cornbread about the dynasty talk. Because right now, KD's not playing next year, and he's probably not going to be a Warrior. So this, I believe the dynasty of Golden State is about to end, but five straight finals and all, Cornbread. But you got the Showtime Lakers, you got the MJ Bulls, and I got your Celtics teams of the 70s and 80s right there with Bird and you and McHale and all those guys. Where does this team rank? If it breaks up right now, where does this team rank amongst those great teams of the past?
I think it's in the top five easily. The way they play the game, you know, they have changed the game that it is completely different than what we've ever seen. So you would have to say this is the greatest scoring team that we've ever seen, especially with the invention of, with the usage of the three-point shot.
And they use that well. All right, Cornbread Maxwell, for those that don't know, he joins us, and Crowder and I have, you know, constant dialogue on this show about things where I think, oh, yeah, everybody loves cottage cheese. And then Crowder will say to me, no.
No,
every
Jack.
White person loves cottage cheese. And then Crowder will say to me, everybody's favorite TV show is Martin. And I go, Martin, everybody's favorite TV show? No, Jack, everybody's favorite TV show is not Martin.
I love Seinfeld.
Yeah, and so we have constant dialogue, and we bring on Cornbread Maxwell. And then actually, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had Brian Scalabrine on, and he was terrific, and he said he would come on one time, and we could do a white blacklist at the same time with both of you guys. You get along with Scalabrine?
Of course I do. Scal's my guy.
Yeah, so there's good. Have you ever had the blacklist conversation with him?
No. Well, we do. One of them we talk about all the time. That is, and you love this. Black people do not eat meat that is not cooked well.
Cook? Oh, you talking about like a steak?
Yeah.
Oh, bread now. I enjoy me a good old Pittsburgh medium with that char on the outside, little pink soft middle.
Man, you go to a black cookout and you bring out the steak and some blood's running out. Ain't nobody eating. Everybody going home.
I got you on the ribs.
I'm with Cornbread on this one.
You brother, if you got some red in your meat, black people are like, oh no. Go back and put that on the fire, bro.
I got that's my black side coming out when I order it medium well.
Because
we were talking to Brian Scalabrine and he's like, oh, I can give you one off the top of my head. He's like, if you get an invitation to a party and it's called for 8 p.m., what time are you showing up? I go, 8 p.m. Crowder's like, yeah, maybe about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
9:15 when the party get good.
Hey, and Brad, if you ride past and not enough cars are outside, you ride right down the road, go get something to eat, and come back.
Right. I'll pull up at 7:55.
Exactly right.
I'll park my car at 7:55, and I'll watch that clock. And the moment it hits 8, I will be standing at that front door. Ding dong.
Oh, no. But Crowder's right about that. That would be a blacklist like that. You ain't coming that early. And if they not that many cars, baby, we ain't gonna be the first ones at the party.
Uh-huh. Oh, you all entertaining.
Give Cornbread a cup. Now, some of these we may have done before, but go ahead. Give Cornbread some of the ones we've talked about.
This is a new one, Cornbread. Hawk brought up Hootie. You went and saw Hootie and the Blowfish.
I saw Hootie and the Blowfish on Saturday night up in West Palm Beach. And you know, Darius Rucker, the lead singer, is a black man. Mm-hmm.
And I had to tell him, Cornbread, he looked at me like I was gonna get excited. I told him, I said, we gave away Hootie a long time ago.
You know, here's the crazy thing about it. I happen to be a fan of Hootie and the Blowfish.
My man.
And of all things, I saw him in Charlotte, walking through Charlotte's airport. And nobody else really recognized him. And I said, Darius Rucker. And he turned around and he started smiling. So I'm not sure where I land up on the Hootie and the Blowfish thing.
That's why I love Cornbread, because he keeps it real. He doesn't fall into line with Crowder. He'll tell you how he really feels. Did he recognize you?
Yeah, he did. Well, we talked for a minute.
Yeah, he's a big sports fan, Darius Rucker.
And then this is something else. I'm about to call you Hootie. Cornbread.
Oh, wow.
This is something between me and my wife. We got into it last week about. My wife bought a $279 toothbrush called a Philips Sonicare. I got so hot. Black folks ain't spending no $300 on a toothbrush.
Oh, no, not at all. That toothbrush had to go back, and you had to go back and get one from Cress's or some from Woolworth for about $2.
Woolworth?
I just like how he says it as fact. Oh, no, that had to go back.
I couldn't. She already used it, Brad. I sure tried. And there's something else from the show. We had a whole discussion that if you have a cookout and there's leftover food, you then take it to your local fire station and give it to the firefighters. I don't think a black person has ever taken food to a fire station.
Let me tell you what a black person does when they come to a cookout and they come to Thanksgiving dinner. They bring two things, a smile and Tupperware. That's all they bring.
Ain't no leftovers.
Like trick or treat? Like trick or treat.
We are not taking no food to the fire. No. Because normally all the black people come with Tupperware, or if they that cheap, they'll ask you if you have Tupperware so you can take food with them. But it's not going to the fire department.
I'll use a Ziploc bag if it's good enough, Brad.
Put it right in my pocket.
And this is the last one, Brad, and we just talked about it today. A white man will take his wedding ring off and just live life, and his wife won't say a word to him. Can you just walk around without your wedding ring on whenever you want to?
Yeah, if you got one finger, because your wife gonna take that one off.
I told you.
A lot of times,
you're gonna not have a hand at all when you go back to see your wife.
Yeah, a lot of times I go out and I just don't feel like wearing it. And Crowder's like, you're not wearing your wedding band? I don't feel like it.
I get scared for you.
Man, that is, you better be ducking when you come in the house, because your fingers still better be like raw, or there's a dog gnawed it off. That's the only reason you better not have your wedding band on.
See? All right, so but going back to Darius Rucker and Hootie and the Blowfish, Crowder says black people traded him for Eminem and Iggy Azalea.
I didn't take Iggy. I gave Iggy to the Hispanics.
You are saying that you did not trade Darius Rucker.
No, I didn't trade him because I don't do hip-hop music, and I don't even know who Izzy Azalea is. Eminem, he ain't on my playlist. So, Darius Rucker would be on my playlist. Eminem wouldn't.
You like any of like the new mumble rappers or whatnot, like Migos or anything? You listen to that?
Dude, I am 63 years old. The only rappers I like is the Temptations. That's all, okay?
I don't know if that's the right genre, Brad.
Look, you 63, you don't do rap music. You're trying to turn that crap off. What are you talking about?
You're not like cranky old man, though, right? But you've got some cranky old man tendencies.
No, I'm cranky old man because if I hear it, I'm thinking like, what the hell is they playing over there? Ain't no love song. It's kill somebody, beat somebody up, stab somebody. That ain't the kind of music gonna turn me on. And that show ain't the kind of music I want to dance to. And it ain't the kind of music I want to bring to my wife to bed with.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Crowder's talked about that before too. Where there's like a dearth of artists nowadays where they just make love making music the way they used to. Marvin Gaye,
even go Keith Sweat and Silk and Bell Biv DeVoe. Even coming up, Brett, there used to be people that were dedicated to making love music. Now people all want to fight.
That's right. Brian McKnight is one of those guys right now that makes that kind of love music. But if you come in. Let me say this. If you come to bed and you bring in an Eminem rap to bed with you, who is your wife and what are you doing? I need to know that. Eminem? Wait a minute. You playing Eminem in bed? Really?
No kids.
There you go. All right. Cornbread Maxwell, thank you for breaking down the NBA Finals with us in a manner that only we could. We love talking to you, man.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Are you traveling anywhere for the off season? You going on vacations?
Oh, I probably go a few places, but right now it's just I'll be in Boston for a little bit.
All right. Well, have a great summer, and we'll talk to you sometime soon. There you go. Cornbread Maxwell. He is a genuine legend and a genuine treat. He really is.
He's great.
You can't help but smile from ear to ear after you get off the phone with Cornbread. You're not really a cranky old man. I'm a cranky old man.
He knows himself. That's the great thing about being old. You know yourself.
That is excellent. All right, quick break there, and we'll come right back. Radio.com. Radio.com. Some of the texts that have come in. Oh, I thought that was part of the song.
It was. My phone's not on.
Oh, is it?
No.
Are you being real?
My phone's not on. I got it on the little red.
Was that little ding? Was that little text ding part of the song? I thought it was.
That might have been on my end. I apologize.
Look at you.
Well, was your microphone open?
No, I was recording through my laptop, and I got a notification, I guess, while I was recording.
That's great.
How you going to just blame me?
Because you grabbed your phone real quick and hit the volume area.
I'm scared. My phone's gone off 100 times since the show started.
Somebody texts in, Cornbread is a national treasure. Crowder, can we trade you Cornbread for Scalabrini? Mm-mm. And we'll throw in Skip Bayless to sweeten the deal.
We don't want Skip.
Yeah, I think.
You think we want Skip? You think we want Skip?
I think Shannon Sharp would vote for Skip.
We want Skip? We don't want Skip.
Skip.
Skip. No, keep Skip. Oh, you won't.
Somebody texts in. That was a great segment. Somebody says, I have pulled over in my car to hear the end of that. I didn't want to miss a thing.
He's awesome, man.
He's fun. Oh, he's just fun. He gets the show, and I would imagine he doesn't get to do a lot of that.
Yeah.
In what he does. That's his personality. You can't do that in a NBA broadcast. There is no room for that kind of nonsense.
No.
And you have to be, he's unfiltered. So what he says here is fine. If he says that in Boston, like he's gotten in trouble before for some of the things that he said. So this is his wheelhouse, man.
And it's a line we were talking about during the break. Like how many shows has he done today where people ask him, why did Nick Nurse call the timeout with 3:05 left?
Right.
So now he has to go into this deep basketball.
Right. And he wants the show where he can tell the story about running into Darius Rucker in an airport.
And we give it to him.
He is fun, man. I enjoy talking with him.
We got to get him and Scalabrini on together.
That will be Radio Gold. Solana, you've got to set that up because Scalabrini will represent the white contingent, and I think he's a pretty good representative.
You like him?
It's like where you say Cornbread knows who he is.
Yes.
I feel like Scalabrine knows who he is.
And we were Cornbread.
Right? And yes. You'll take Cornbread, and we'll both agree that they're very good representatives of our races, and then we'll see what shenanigans ensue.
I have to pull back on Hootie a little bit.
Yeah, I think I have to pull back. Because Cornbread is, you know, he's the godfather of
yes.
the... But like... He seems like the kind of guy, though, that if you drive by and you're playing Migos at a very loud level,
Hey, turn it down.
Turn that crap down.
And you're not going to run up on him. No, big old fella.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many knee drainings he's had. He sent me video of him getting his knee drained. Remember that?
He did.
Last time he came out with us, I said, are you doing anything today? And he texted me video of him getting his knee drained, and all blood was coming out. Like...
The audio was great. Hey, Doc. Why does it look like that?
Shouldn't this be clear? But it was interesting what he says. I want to talk about it in the next segment. What he says about Kevin Durant is very similar to what you've said about myriad things on this show, which is don't get so emotionally attached to your athletes. Like
they don't care about you.
But there's,
and you really don't care about them. You care about their ability.
But there's huge debate about last night and the Toronto fans' reaction to what transpired. And it has lit up phone lines and tweets and national media. But when you hear Crowder's take on it in the next segment, you may step back a step or two and say, well, wait a second, because you're going to hear what he thinks about the whole hullabaloo in Toronto last night. We'll talk about it in the next segment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.